It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's rock and roll, baby. It's Friday. It is a blue Friday, red Friday, happy Friday, Friday.
That's right.
How you doing?
How 6 you doing, Milwaukee?
Come on. Why do you? You got 27 seconds into the show and you're trolling.
It wouldn't be the same. What a baseball game last night. Good God.
The Mets did to what happens to them to someone else.
That's
for the
exactly
first time
right.
in Mets history.
Yep, exactly right.
But why do you have to do that?
Because, man, it
you're
was incredible.
Better than that.
No, I'm not.
That's fair.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're an ass.
I am. I'm going to rub salt in that wound, man. Like, I just can't imagine. I got a text from our buddy Rob Maloney last night. He goes, you were right. The Mets are Mets, and right? That was the eighth inning. And then the Mets go unbelievably crazy in the ninth, and the Brewers are what, two outs away from winning this thing?
First and third, one out. Your boy Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso on the come. I'll tell you what though, that's it might have killed Bob Uecker.
On the pitch, hit in the air to right, deep warning track, and gone.
He's crying. Remember that.
Peter Alonso just put New York on top in this one. With a three-run home run to right field. And just like that, a 2-0 lead is now a 3-2 deficit. That quickly. Wow.
And that is Bob Uecker, the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers. You can tell that he is absolutely shocked.
Shocked.
Because a man who never does not know what to say has no idea what to say.
What do you do in that situation,
he
man?
He says the name of the player. He says, which is great broadcasting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but normally Bob Uecker, you know, is, well, that one, and he does say it a little bit later on. He says that one came with some sting on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's normally a situation where you're like, you know, well, the deficit's only one, you know, or whatever. It's, you know, it's 3-2. We still got a chance. It's a home run. It's just 4 seconds and then 8 seconds of silence. 3 seconds, 8 seconds of silence. But that, in a nutshell, is exactly why playoff baseball remains undefeated.
It really does, man.
Now, you have to have a dog in the fight to
absolutely
have,
to be paying attention.
Right?
Yep, because so if the Royals aren't in this, I'm not watching that game last night.
You're probably more intrigued with what Kirk Cousins did, which we'll dive into that, too, to open this show up, and then we'll get into all your Royals-Chiefs content for the rest of the show. But that is, last night was, and this is how I'm going to do this. Last night was a very, very perfect example of why sometimes we don't know what the hell we're talking about. Because we were like, Thursday night, there's no Royals game. The Chiefs don't play till Monday. This week's dragging along. We got to get to Saturday. We got college football. Like, what are we going to do? And you had that baseball game.
Yep.
And you had that Thursday night football game.
And
you had no dog in the fight.
Right.
You could just sit back, do whatever you were doing, folding laundry, getting ready for the weekend, you know, planning things out with the wifey. chilling on the couch, just watching sports with your boys, and you get that just by tuning in.
Just by watching, you get this.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him.
There it is from the Mets side of things. Howie Rose with the call on the Mets broadcast. Completely different than what Bob Uecker had to say on the Milwaukee side of things, right? I mean,
I would hope so.
But that is, and you're right about playoff baseball. And I said to you before we got on the air, and I go, boy, the pitch clock makes a huge difference in the postseason as well. I mean, these games are flying by. They're entertaining. You're sitting on the edge of your seat. The pitch clock, in my opinion, is the greatest change to sports that we've ever seen. It is the greatest change to sports that we have ever seen in our lifetimes. I know some were alive before the forward pass and whatnot in the NFL. That was a nice invention as well. But this right here is keeping you captivated to these playoff games, because without a pitch clock, we're probably still playing that game up in Milwaukee. We're probably still trying to figure out how to end that thing. But the pitch clock moves these games along, and when you do have a dog in fight, the baseball postseason is better than anything else. It's every single day, and you get magical moments like that. And Pete Alonso, man, like, he is a guy for the entire year that was not producing the way that he needed to be producing for the Mets. He was like the A number one guy that Met fans were blaming for losing games or whatever it was. Like, no matter what happened, it was Pete Alonso's fault. He's in the final year of his contract. That dude is now about to get paid because of that home run that he hit last night. Legends are made in the postseason. And Pete Alonso just became a legend on the second biggest stage in New York City with the Mets. I mean, that was just an incredible moment for him last night. And now if you're New York, you got to look at yourself and go, damn, I didn't know we were going to pay Pete Alonso this offseason. He's probably going to walk. And now you got to say, that's one of the biggest home runs, if not the biggest home run in Mets history. You got to scratch a check now to Pete Alonso. I mean, you got to pay that guy because of that home run. And that's the beauty of the postseason. There will be somebody for the Royals that we're not expecting right now that maybe had a down season that comes up big and becomes a star, becomes a legend overnight, and you're like, we've got to bring that guy back. We've got to bring this guy back into the fold because of that big home run that he hit for us. There's always going to be that unsung hero in the postseason, as much as Bobby Witt and Aaron Judge need to do it for their teams because they're the stars, and stars need to be stars. Sometimes you're going to have that guy that you're least expecting come through with a big moment, and nobody, regardless of his history or anything, nobody in Mets land was expecting Pete Alonso to be like that guy last night.
I mean, he's your big power hitter. If anybody was going to do it, I think it's Pete. I know he's had a down year, like you mentioned,
but
big time. That was insane. Mac, how much of that did you watch, or were you eyes bleeding into the Atlanta Tampa Bay?
I was two TVing it up on a Thursday, which
for
baseball. I mean, for baseball playoffs, you would never catch me doing. But like you said, Bob, I mean, the Royals are kind of in it, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch, and I was glad I did. It was great.
It's great. Yeah, like you can't watch, like if the Royals aren't in it, the baseball postseason is not interesting. It really isn't. It's amazing to me how having our team in the postseason really makes me want to watch all of these postseason games. And I remember in 14 and 15, you're consuming all of these playoff games, and the Royals don't do anything, and you just lose interest with baseball. You check out in, you know, May, whatever the case may be, and it's been on to football for the last 9 years. But when your team's in it, man, you're paying attention and you're watching and you're captivated. I also thought the other cool scene was the fact that Citi Field had the entire lower bowl full of Met fans last night, and everybody was cheering at the stadium in New York as that game was taking place in Milwaukee. There's something cool about watching these games as a community and with fans, and you're hugging strangers and you're kissing people you'd ever met before. I mean, that's the beauty of sports, and that's why it's so good when we have our teams in the postseason, because it allows you those opportunities to celebrate and be with the people and have some fun, and everybody sharing in those moments and seeing fans go crazy is fun. Seeing fans depressed, I mean, you feel that emotion. And we were kind of talking about like that kick in the gut moment for us here in Kansas City, and you'd mentioned that Colts game and where they were up 28 points is that kind of gut punch like Brewer fans were feeling last night. And I think you're probably right about that, because that was a game you should have won. You're up 28 points late in the game, and you lose it, and you blew it, and you found a way to screw that whole thing up. And that's Milwaukee. You got two outs to go and you're on to the NLDS, and you lose a game in that fashion last night. That is a gut punch that I've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, like, the conversation we're having was we either get blown out and know it's coming or have that kind of thing happen to you. And the two situations that I bring up as a Chiefs fan, I knew at the end of the Tampa Bay Super Bowl that that game was over at halftime.
Oh, God, yes.
And I looked at everybody that we were at the watch party with. I was like, you can enjoy the rest of it. I'll, you know, peek in, walk around, but I'm going to go enjoy the food now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be probably leaving by the two-minute warning in the fourth quarter, but this game is, in my opinion, is over.
Over.
And people can say, you know, whatever they want, like, oh, you didn't believe in Patrick Mahomes.
No.
He didn't have anybody blocking for him, so I knew he was screwed.
Yeah. And then, you know, Tyrann Mathieu got into it and all that kind of stuff. It started to crumble at the end of the first half. And
plus he threw an interception, I think, at the end of the first half. And it was not good. Mm. And then, then you look at the other end of the spectrum and you look at that Colts game.
Right.
And you're sitting there, you're like, all right, you know, we finally beat Indianapolis. We're going to play in a second round game.
Get
we
got ready a chance. To go to New England.
Yeah. Gotta go face Tom Brady again. Here we go. And then it's just like one piece after the other. And you're like, oh, my God, this is happening again.
Yep.
And not only that, you parlay that with I think it was a real crappy weather night. It was like sleeting and cold and nasty. And like you were just like, you know what? This is it. I'm done. Yep. I don't want to do sports for the next week. You just don't want to do it. And that's exactly what you saw last night in that game, which is Milwaukee hits two home runs in the bottom of the eighth. They send their closer out there in the ninth. They're up 2-0.
they
got
lose.
One out, first and third. Even if like Alonso hits like a sack fly, it's 2-1, two outs.
Yeah.
Next guy's done. You're like, the worst possible case scenario here is Pete Alonso hits a home run and he hits it opposite field.
Right.
Stab my heart, stab my temple, and just get me out of my misery.
And then seeing the fans' reaction in the crowd. I mean,
crying, tears.
Crying. I mean, like everybody's feeling that moment. And I think as sports fans, we've all been there where you see your team lose, where you expect them to win, and you have your heart ripped out. I think every sports fan can relate to that moment last night. But by God, man, these first three games, this first round of the postseason was spectacular. You know, the Royals grinding out two games by the skin of their teeth in Baltimore, the Mets going three with Milwaukee and hitting a game-winning home run in the ninth inning. I mean, it's just been a wild, fun start to this postseason, and it's only going to continue to get even better this weekend as the Royals and the Yankees open up their series coming up on Saturday. That'll be here on 96.5 The Fan, and then we roll into Monday, and then Monday is going to be a bleep show around Kansas City. Tuesday, nobody's going to be working, and so here we go, folks. The March to October, I guess you could say, is officially on, and we're starting to plan our off days and kind of low productivity time around the city in the month of October, like we did in 14 and 15, because settle in, man. It's going to be a wild, wild ride.
Settle in to 96.5 The Fan today, especially from 6 to 10 a.m. I don't know how much of a bigger Friday show you can get for a blue and red Friday October. Kurt Nelson, Hall of Famer at 7 a.m. How you doing? Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, 7:25. How you doing? Royals and baseball Hall of Famer George Brett, 8 o'clock. How you doing? That's a damn good show. Stay tuned.
You forgot the biggest guest of all.
And then our roundtable guest, Jay Binkley.
Mm.
If you want a man's sandwich that has every ingredient, you got a Nelson, Holtis, Brett, Binkley sandwich.
And Binkley canceled surgery to come in today.
You got that nice brioche bun and Kurt Nelson. Got nice hair, nice eyes, soft mustache. Mitch Holtis, he's the meat. George Brett. He's the other ingredients, the lettuce, the tomato, the bacon. He can do it all. And then Jay Binkley's just your potato salad.
Jay Binkley's mayonnaise.
There you go. He brings it all together. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. This is 96.5 The Fan. This is Fesco and Dusty, and you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Dusty Likens, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey here on your home for Kansas City sports. Royals will play Saturday, 5:38 on Monday. 5:38 or 17:38 when it comes to the Royals on Saturday. Getting to that point. Trying to hold it in. Trying not to get too over the top with it.
But you got to get through today. Today's a big day of just kind of waiting, right? Like they always say the wait is the hardest part. And I think a lot of people are into that kind of stage now because, you know, in baseball, you're used to, hey, let's go, man. Let's go. And then all of a sudden you get to the postseason and it's like, okay, let's go, let's go. And now let's stop for a few days and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And so as we sit here and wait, as we sit here and, you know, kind of twiddle our thumbs and figure out what we're going to do to kill the time in between now and 5:30 tomorrow afternoon, I guess we just sit there and hope, right? Like everything turns out for the best and that everybody comes to the ballpark tomorrow on the Royals side of thing and plays their A game, man. Like Michael Wacha, go out there and hold down that lineup. They're giving you the ball in game one. That's a big, 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 big compliment to get that ball in game one at Yankee Stadium. And so Michael Wacha, man, go out and do your thing. And this offense, go out and score a couple of runs. You don't need to score 100 runs or anything like that. Get you 2-3 runs, and you got an opportunity to win this thing because the Royals' bullpen has been lights out over their last 40 innings. They've given up one run. The starters have been fantastic, you know, through the postseason at the end of last year, and that's what you need. That's the recipe to have success in the Bronx is score a couple of runs and pitch like you've been pitching, and this series will just take care of itself.
I'm interested because, I don't know, I hit you with a little comment this morning that this is one of those series where there are two outstanding baseball athletes that are going up head-to-head with each other, which is Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people will probably disagree with this. That's fine. But I know Juan Soto is on in the lineup for the Yankees. I know Salvador Perez is in the lineup for the Royals. Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr. both cannot afford an off night in these series. And the reason I say that is because this is different than a regular season where if Aaron Judge goes out there in game 99 and strikes out three times in four at-bats and the Yankees lose, there's no big deal.
Nobody cares.
If he goes out there tonight or Saturday and goes over four or three strikeouts and the Yankees lose,
he's getting
four
crushed.
To two, they're going to ask him, everyone's going to shift. Mm-hmm. If Bobby Witt Jr. goes out for the Royals and goes 0-4 in game one and they don't win and they lose 6-1, people are going to be like, well, shoot. If Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get on or doesn't make things, you know, hectic, Royals can't win.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of where these two guys are within their careers already for Bobby Witt Jr. And obviously they're with Aaron Judge. And you've mentioned all week, there's a ton of pressure on Aaron Judge in New York.
Oh, God, yes.
That's the contract that you bear. That's the bed that you make that you must sleep in, is that if you want to become one of these guys in New York, just like we just talked about Pete Alonso, he's going to have a contract that he can sign in the offseason. If he wants to stay with New York and they're a playoff team this year, they're now going to expect Pete Alonso to always be this Pete Alonso. It's just the territory.
Right.
And I think that does kind of play into the playoffs. I think also like 9 days off, it's kind of like, you know, who are we going to play? Who do we prepare for? I'm sure the Yankees have one of those hitting nets in their dugout, unlike the Royals.
Right.
But again, I'm not trying to give excuses. I just think that that's where these two guys are in their careers already for Bobby and where Aaron Judge has kind of built his clout. Aaron Judge is the guy that hits the home runs. He's the guy that's like the face of the Yankees, which are the face of baseball. Mm-hmm. Always have been, always will be. It is what it is. But if Aaron Judge goes 0-4 and strikes out three times, that means you're depending on Juan Soto, who hits before Aaron Judge. No matter what he does, Aaron Judge isn't doing anything for him to do that, which means Juan Soto is irrelevant. And the same thing is without Salvador Perez, or with Bobby Witt Jr., he's got Vinny and Sal behind him. I don't know how much pop Vinny has. I know that he's playing. He's able to like put the ball in play, which is more than anybody else can do.
So you don't need home runs.
But if Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get on, Vinny Pasquantino is useless in the lineup.
Yep.
And if Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't get on and Vinny Pasquantino, then it's like, well, then Salvador Perez, you know, he doesn't really have that chance. So those two guys who anchor both of these teams, one off night, you can guarantee the other team's going to win.
Well, and you know, you look at Aaron Judge too, and the pressure that is surrounding him is mighty. He is the most prominent athlete on the most important sports team in New York City. And when you hold that face and when you wear that C on your jersey with the Yankees, you've got to do good things, not in the regular season, but in the postseason. And Aaron Judge hasn't done that yet. I mean, he has not led his team to a championship. And you look at all those retired numbers out there. I'm sure one day Aaron Judge wants his number 99 retired out there in Monument Park with the Yankees and to become one of the legends of the game. And that probably will happen because he mashes a lot of home runs. And we saw what he did last year and setting records and all that kind of stuff. But if he doesn't win a championship in New York, he's going to be looked at as a yeah, but guy in Yankee history. Like, yeah, he was really good, but he was a captain that never led his team to a championship. And so I think there is immense pressure on Aaron Judge. I was talking to a buddy of mine who came over last night. We're sitting out there watching these baseball games, talking about this stuff. And he was like, yeah, I agree with you. Aaron Judge has more pressure on him than maybe any other athlete we've seen in our lifetimes when it comes to trying to win a championship. And if Aaron Judge doesn't go out there and lead the Yankees to a championship, he's always going to have that hanging over his head. And the Yankees now, too, they're looking at this saying, our nemesis, the Astros, are out. Our nemesis, the Orioles, are out. We just have to get through the American League Central. And so they've got themselves what a lot of people are considering an easier road than if it was the Astros or Orioles in front of them. But I don't think it is an easier road. I think the Yankees are going to have to be on their A game. Aaron Judge is going to have to play big. And if Aaron Judge doesn't play big and they're not on their A game, then the Yankees are going to be going home. And you're right about that. The same goes for the Royals as well. If Bobby Witt doesn't have the series that we need Bobby Witt to have, then the Royals are going to go home. This is where your stars have to be stars. And that's kind of the theme of the postseason. Your stars need to be stars. Pete Alonso, 6 months ago, was a star in New York. He was like, oh my God, we got to re-sign this guy. We can't let him get the free agency. Had a very milquetoast type of season. And then in the postseason, he was a star last night. Your stars need to be big. Your stars need to raise their level of play because they're stars for a reason. And so Bobby Witt Jr. and Aaron Judge, I think it is the two biggest stars going head-to-head in this postseason. Which one is going to lead their team to a victory? Because that's the way it's all going to be spun. If the Yankees win, it's Aaron Judge and the Yankees advance. If the Royals win, it's Bobby Witt and the Royals advance. If either of those teams lose, Aaron Judge couldn't help the Yankees win. Bobby Witt couldn't help the Royals win. And it's going to fall back to them because they are the big stars. This is the biggest moment that Bobby Witt's ever had. This is the biggest moment Aaron Judge has ever had. Which one of these stars is going to be the best player on the field? And ultimately, Dusty, I think that determines who wins this game, which star shows up the biggest. And if Aaron Judge wilts under pressure, if Bobby wilts under pressure, then their teams are not going to win this series.
It's interesting when you go into these series, how much pressure obviously mounts up in the situation. Like it's going to be, and I know you all probably already know this. It's going to be electric on Saturday night.
Oh God, yes.
It is New York Yankees. It is the Bronx. It is playoff baseball. It is a different atmosphere there. And you can go into that place and really cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really cut it out. Like, they do their little chants in right field where they call out every player and get a tip of the cap from them and then give them a round of applause. It's like a Premier League soccer game in Manchester.
Yeah, it really is.
They've got their cult following. They have their iconic pinstripes. They have the Monument Park. You know that everybody that's come from New York is considered great. They're the evil empire. But by God, if you have Bobby Witt Jr. get up in there in the first inning and hit an absolute piss missile, that crowd will go silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then those people and those athletes, and I'm not saying it's the first thing that comes to their mind. I shouldn't say that. That's my apology. But one of the things that comes to their mind is, well, shoot. All right, we got to win this game, but we're not going to hear the end of it. And that's one game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I can promise you that if we come into the show Monday and the Royals do happen to lose on Saturday, it will not be doom and gloom, sky is falling.
No, it should not be.
Because I'll know that they have Cole Reagans. Whereas right. The Yankees will forget that their roster is $500 million. But that $500 million roster, it ain't so good against the Royals pitchers. Aaron Judge, 1-for-28 versus Lugo, Reagans, and Waka.
Not good. 0-36.
Jazz Chisholm, 1-for-18.
0-55.
With those three guys. Giancarlo Stanton, formerly known as Mike, 7-for-34, two home runs.
But only a 205 average.
Decent.
Yeah.
Volpe, Bob, easy math, 0-for-11.
Zero. He's Lutarski.
Juan Soto. Intentionally walk him every time.
Every time. Don't pitch to Soto.
Pitch to him and strike out Judge. He is 8 of 26, two home runs with a what average?
307.
Pretty solid.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And then Gleyber Torres, yeah. 4 of 29.
So do you walk Soto and pitch to Judge in that type of situation? I mean, the numbers would say that you do, but logic would say you probably don't in those type of situations either. If right. you walk Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge, you know what that's going to do to Aaron Judge. That's going to piss him off, and then Aaron Judge is going to go out there and absolutely rake against you because right. that shows disrespect yeah. to Aaron Judge. judge. That's why when you look at these numbers, they're great and everything, and that's why I predicted the Royals in two, because the Yankees are going to surrender after game two and just not want to come to Kansas City and waste the fuel on the plane and all the travel expenses. But if you walk around Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge will make you pay for in sure. that type of series. So I don't think you could do that. But the numbers are really staggering when you look at the middle of that lineup and you look at what they're doing against these three Royal starters that are going to be rolled out there in this series. I mean, you're going to see Reagans, Waka, and Lugo. And you're not going to see anybody else start for the Royals. That's going to be it. It's going to be Waka, Reagans, Lugo. And then if it goes game five back to New York, you're going to see Cole Reagans in game five. So he sets up for game two and game five if it should go all five games. And that's beautiful for the Royals to have Cole Reagans in there at least twice. But, you know, these guys have dominated the Yankees over the course of their careers, with the exception of Giancarlo Stanton. Like, he's the, or Juan Soto, I'm sorry, and Stanton too. He's got a couple of home runs. Those are the two guys in the lineup that you really have to be wary of. And all of that stuff with the Yankees and the crowd and the chanting and the stadium and the history and Monument Park, none of that's playing the game. It all comes down to the players. It all comes down to the pitching. It all comes down to making the right decisions in the dugout. I think we have the advantage in the manager over Aaron Boone. I think we have the advantage in starting pitching, in my opinion, on the mound. The only thing we don't have an advantage of is having a couple of mashers in the middle of the lineup like Soto and Judge and Stanton. And you know what? You don't really need those mashers in the lineup. Right. So I just think the Royals match up so good right now with the New York Yankees. And I'm really excited. Like, I'm not going to be shocked if the Royals win this series at all. I'll be stunned if they lose this series. I will absolutely be shocked if they lose this series to the Yankees, because on paper, they match up with New York better than maybe anybody in baseball right now.
Last time the Yankees and Royals played, the Royals lost two of three.
Yep.
But their starting pitching was actually good. Cole Reagans, six innings, three hits, seven strikeouts, and the loss, they would lose that game 4-3.
And that was back when you couldn't rely on the bullpen, Dusty. I mean, the Royals came here in June, and they took three out of four from the Yankees. And then we just went to New York at the beginning of September, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and played the Yankees and lost two out of three to New York. But it wasn't because of the starting pitching. It was because of the bullpen. But now you look at the bullpen right now. They're pitching great. One run in 40 innings of their last 40 innings since middle of September. Like, I'm ready to ride with this bullpen. And I think what they've shown us in Baltimore, what they've shown us for the last 40 innings, we should all be ready to ride with this bullpen. We should all be excited about this bullpen and not worry when that bullpen door opens and Sam Malone comes in, or Angel Zerpa comes in, or Ursay comes in. Like, it just doesn't matter who's coming in out of that bullpen right now, because those guys have been pitching their asses off, and they do give you an opportunity to win. They're not costing you the game anymore. And I had somebody in baseball tell me, they go, usually in the playoffs, the thing that kills you all season long turns around and bites you in the postseason again. And I said, so you mean the bullpen for the Royals? He's like, yeah, the bullpen for the Royals wasn't good all season long. Usually that's what gets you in the playoffs. But at this point in time, as we're seeing, this isn't your father's Royals bullpen or your newborn baby's bullpen, because they're going out there and they're dominating. They're getting guys out and they're making great pitches and they're giving their team an opportunity to win these games.
When Seth Lugo would play against them, the last time they played, they would win 5-0. Seven innings, three hits, 10 strikeouts for Lugo.
Nice.
They played the Yankees earlier on in the season where they lost 3-4.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, Singer pitched in one of those games.
Lugo pitched in the opener. But then the rest of your starters were Singer, that Albalerto guy that we forget about that pitched.
Who?
Yeah, your guy. You liked this guy. He was like one of your guys. His name was Dan out of Alia.
Oh, that guy. Altavia. Yeah,
you loved
Vista.
Him.
Yeah,
you loved
guy.
Him until
yeah,
they played the Yankees.
That guy, yeah.
And Alec Marsh and Brady Singer. So they saw Cole Reagans once. They didn't see Waka. They saw Lugo twice, and he was pretty damn good both those times. So two guys they haven't seen in the year. The Yankees would go 5-2 versus the Royals in their seven games, but they would not face Reagans more than once. They would not face Michael Waka, and the two times they faced Lugo, Lugo had his way. He said have his bullpen on one game, and the other one he was 5-0 shutout. He didn't need anybody.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, that kind of tells the story right there. The Yankees beat the Royals 5 out of 7 games, but they didn't really face much good pitching.
They beat Singer twice. They beat Alec Marsh. They beat Albalerto's, and they beat Lugo 4-3. That was a bullpen
game. Yeah. So there you go. Like, I mean, that right there should tell you that this ball club is ready to go. The starting pitching is going to dominate for the Royals. I expect these to be low scoring games. I expect you to have to scratch out runs. I expect Garcia, if you're called on the bunch, you get the damn bunt down and you're able to bunt because runs are going to be a premium. I think you're going to have to play a small ball style of baseball to beat the Yankees. And I, quite frankly, I think if the Yankees want to win this series too, they should play a small ball style of ball and not try to hit home runs because it just doesn't work like that in the playoffs.
I also think it's fun to beat the Yankees too, if you can, because they just always seem to have those like players on their team that you just, everybody's like kind of in like agreement that nobody likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never really understood why anybody would like Paul O'Neill.
Okay. But great player though.
Sure. But
great
like
great player,
big piss baby.
Yeah.
Right. That's Cody Tapp term. So I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
A-Rod.
You didn't like A-Rod.
No one did, but I know he played for a ton of teams, but like he had to go to New York.
Right.
Roger Clemens.
Right.
Right. Threw a bat at Mike Piazza. Goes, I didn't know you were standing there. I was like, yeah, you did. And Mikey P was ready to rip your head off, dude.
Oh, yeah.
So you think there's always that player. Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Right?
Garrett. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard. And I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot. Like I mentioned earlier, this is important to a lot of people that love the game. And this is including the players in this room, including fans, including, teams. And so if MLB wants to, legislate some more stuff, that's a conversation that we can have, because ultimately we should all be pulling in the same direction.
They took away his spider tech, and he had that explanation to say, like, well, the fans and players and coaches love it.
Yeah, 65-second word salad that said literally nothing and was just words. And I find that cut to be very important. Number one, because it shows that Garrett Cole was a cheater and then got busted and then had to use the spider tech, loosely, if you will. And can't use it anymore. However, they're doing things in baseball these days. But it also shows me there that Garrett Cole is not a gentleman who handles adversity well. And that's what I like most about this, because I think if the Royals can get to Garrett Cole early, Garrett Cole's the type of guy who doesn't know how to dig himself out and doesn't know how to fight back and doesn't know how to battle back. He's one of those guys when things are going great, he's a fantastic pitcher. But the minute you get into trouble, that's when Garrett Cole has the opportunity to be knocked out of a game, because an answer like that, it's a Zoom call in 2021. So everything's kind of still on Zoom because of what's going on in the world and whatnot. And you're doing a press conference on the heels of this spider tack thing being talked about. You should know going in that somebody's going to ask you, did you use spider tack? Did you cheat, allegedly, when you were on the mound? Did you use this stuff? And to not have an answer ready to go, to not be prepared, to not be focused, to not be dialed in, and to not like consider that that question may even be coming, tells me that Garrett Cole is not ready for the big moments. He wilts under pressure, and I'm excited to get a couple of runners on in the first inning and see Garrett Cole absolutely melt out there on the mound, because that cut alone shows me everything I need to know about Garrett Cole. He's not tough between the ears. Go after him early. Make him work hard. Make him struggle. Make him face adversity. He's not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill once hit two home runs for the Clippers. Oh, for a crippled child.
He did, probably. Absolutely. Yeah.
Why do I always do that to myself?
Because it was a TV show. But,
Okay. It's a Seinfeld reference.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Paul O'Neill. Well, I didn't. And then Wade Boggs went to the Yankees. Johnny Damon went to the Yankees. Jason Giambi, all those guys. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into our unsung heroes of the first half. And would you look at this? A wide receiver that's making odds and his favorites are the Chiefs. Boy, do I feel like an idiot now. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5
The Fan.
Ken on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty with you here on a Friday morning. Damn glad to have you. Hope everybody's had a good week. I thought this week went by completely fast. Obviously, with two watch parties at Jefferson's on Tuesday, Wednesday. A little golf action yesterday. Friday's today. Happy hour, first Fridays, whatever you want to do today. You can always go over to our Facebook page or Twitter page, YouTube page, subscribe. You can watch the show while you listen to it, while you're ironing those pants, getting that breakfast ready for the kiddos. Throw it on the big screen. Throw it on the smart TV. Check us out. You can also check out the Royals this weekend and the Yankees. 5:38 is the game on Saturday. 6:38 is the game on Monday. Then the Chiefs will be at 7:30
right
on Monday Night Football against the Saints. And then head into a bye week 4-0.
Yeah.
5-0. I thought this was interesting because, as some of you might know, certain people considered me moronic or idiotic to have this discussion. And I want to give you the roots of the discussion. The Chiefs brought back Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs lost two wide receivers in the first 4 weeks of the season. Hell, before the first week of the season, they lost one of them. And I said, well, I think that this season for the Chiefs is an over my dead body attempt at a title for Clark Hunt, Brett Veach, Mark Donovan. Those are the three honchos, right? Those are the three big ones. Year one was for Andy. Year two was for the city. And the third one was for Norma or for, you know, maybe the team. I don't know. And this one feels like a three-peat solidifies you as a franchise for the rest of time. Like, no one's taking you away from anything. You have nothing to be taken from.
The three-peat solidifies you as the greatest dynasty in NFL history.
And one of the greatest dynasties of all
time and all sports.
All time. Going back to whenever sports were created.
Right. This is a big, big deal and a huge season and so much at stake. Like, I still think at times people don't realize what the magnitude of this season really is and who this season is truly big for. This is big for the organization. Mm. This is big for the Hunt family because Andy Reid's going to be gone. Patrick Mahomes is going to be gone. Brett Veach is going to be gone. Mark Donovan is going to be gone. Chris Jones is going to be gone. Travis Kelce is going to be gone. The Hunts are never going to be gone. It's always going to be their franchise. It's always going to be theirs. And so this is one of those titles that solidifies them as one of, if not the best ownerships in all of the NFL. Their dad basically invented the league when he formed the AFL, created the merger, invented the Super Bowl, the whole nine yards. We know the history, right? But the one thing that nobody has done in this league in the Super Bowl era is win three straight. You do that. And you do something that nobody else in this league has ever done before, you put yourself in a completely different realm than everybody else. And so I've been telling you since this season started and since training camp started and since OTA started, how important this three-peat truly was to this organization. So much so that they were bringing back Kareem Hunt to the team, right? We all thought in our wildest dreams that Kareem Hunt would never come back to Kansas City. He lied to the owner, and ultimately that's what did him in. But they're looking around and they're going, you know what? We need a running back. This guy's available, played here before. Let's let bygones be bygones and let's mend fences and let's bring him back if he gives us the best opportunity to get this three-peat. Because if you win the three straight, nobody can ever take that away from you and nobody can ever say that there's a better dynasty in the NFL than what's going on right now. It is so important to this organization to get these three straight championships that they're willing to do anything. And so, in my opinion, nothing is off the table right now when it comes to having conversations about who you can add into the fold here in Kansas City. It's fun to talk about, and then sometimes reality does set in, you know?
What is that reality, Bob?
Well, the reality is they've got about $4 million to last them the rest of the year.
But you also stated that the salary cap is a fake thing.
It is, but there's also a budget that you have as well. And so if your boss tells you, hey, or your household budget, or however you want to look at it, you got $1,000 that you can spend and afford to spend, you can't go over that, right? And so that's kind of where they are. They got about $4 million, if you look at SpotRac, that's supposed to last them the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of injuries already this season. So you don't want to take that $4 million and spend it all in one place. Maybe you get another team to eat some salary. Maybe you wait a couple of weeks as salaries start to decrease, because weeks are starting to decrease in the NFL before you make a big move. You just sit around and say, you know what? I got my fingers crossed. Rashi Rice is going to be back. He was walking around the locker room the other day, and, you know, obviously it looks better than it originally looked on Sunday when he had that injury happen. But we still don't know the extent of it. We won't know until Monday or Tuesday once the swelling goes down and they get that camera in there and look around. But they've got about $4 million that they can spend for the rest of the season, and they've got to make that last. And we're only in week 4 or week 5, whatever this is now.
Some would say, and some would write, that it was atrocious, blasphemous, idiotic to even mention Tyreek Hill's name in the Chiefs. You want to let people know who has the best odds, according to Vegas, where Tyreek Hill will land?
Well, it's the Chiefs at 3-1. Yeah. It's
so I'm not the only one
Tyreek was asked about it the other day down at his press conference. You know, when he speaks to the media, the Miami folks asked him about potentially being traded and coming back to Kansas City. And I mean, look, it's a conversation to have. It's sports talk radio, right?
Is it happening? No. Is it worth meriting a convo?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because everybody's talking about it. Like every Chiefs fan that I've run into recently, you think we can bring back Tyreek Hill? What do you think about Tyreek Hill? Like, people are talking about it, and that's what sports radio is all about. It's great conversation. It's fun to talk about things. Do I think Tyreek Hill's coming back here? No, I don't think Tyreek Hill's coming back here. But you know what? The conversation is worth having, because it's a micro part of a conversation that's a macro topic, and that's winning this three-peat and where the Chiefs are right now. All hands on deck. Nothing's off the table. Let's go get this third championship. How can we do it? Well, let's go see if we can find the best possible player available. And Brett Veach does his due diligence. You call Miami and you say, hey, what do you want for Tyreek Hill? Are you willing to eat 90% of his salary? We'll take him for you. Yeah. And so you kind of go through those channels right now. So none of it's not worth having a conversation about, right? Because it's a fun topic to have a conversation about.
We ain't the only ones.
And anybody who doesn't think it's a fun conversation, I don't want to be near you. It's fun. People forget sports is fun. And having a conversation about Tyreek Hill potentially coming back is fun. Had they not brought Kareem Hunt back, we wouldn't be talking about this. But they showed they're willing to let the past be the past to try to go out there and win football games.
Like, is it happening? Probably not.
Probably not.
Absolutely not. But it's noise.
Yeah.
Speaking of noise, we do this to a lot of people in interviews. 30 seconds each, fellas. Who's been your unsung hero so far in the first month for the Chiefs?
Well, for me, it's Wanya Morris. I mean, I know he's probably not going to get a lot of credit, but I think he's solidified and stabilized that left tackle spot. I think he's been pretty good
for
since
now.
They gave him the... Yeah, well, for now.
But this is the first month.
First month of the season. Yeah, I think Wanya Morris has been pretty good at that left tackle spot. I know we look at one or two plays and everybody freaks out and, you know, oh my God, he's no good. And it's easier to spot a bad play by an offensive lineman than a good play, because for every 10 you have one bad, everybody sees the bad play. Mm-hmm. So Wanya Morris, for me, is the guy.
Dr. Magenstein?
I'd go to Tershawn Wharton on the defensive line. He's been an absolute stud. Yep. I mean, kind of just like a little bit shocked just out of nowhere. His just presence has just come out of nowhere to me. I feel like he's just been a really good rotational guy. But more than that, this year, he's just kind of stepped up to his starting role. Last year, came off an injury. This year, seems like he's fully back. And, you know, with George Karlaftis kind of having underperforming season so far, a little bit underwhelming season so far, Tershawn Wharton's been a big step up.
Yeah, and I know that the numbers probably aren't there for Karlaftis that everybody wants to see, because, you know, it's only 4 weeks into the season. He doesn't have 10 sacks yet, so let's dump all over him.
He hasn't been what we wanted.
Well, I don't know what the answer to that question is, quite honestly. What do we want, a sack a game? Because that's not realistic.
The pressure numbers to be up. He gets single teamed every time.
He took an offensive lineman right into the quarterback's lap the other night against the Chargers. And whatnot. But you know what? If Karlaftis is occupying and doing things and Chris Jones is getting to the quarterback two or three times a game, I'm good with that as well.
Mine's Leo Chenal. Guys everywhere. Defensively, they run him on those goal line plays where they pound the rock up the middle and try to get that 1 yard run. I've seen Leo Chenal there. He almost looked like Camilo Vigegas lining up a putt, the lizard man. who would get down. They like somebody was asking the other day when they were running a play, like, who is that like in an army crawl? And I was like, that's Leo Chenal, 54. And he's ready to hit somebody. On defense, he's really done his job. I don't think he gets a lot of talk. He gets enough talk. That's been more than what he probably has gotten in the past. But the dude's been my unsung hero that we don't talk enough about, because Leo Chenal really closes that edge and really is the kind of guy that's like Danny Bateman from The Replacements. Go give me the ball. Mm-hmm. I'll get you the ball.
Right.
Calm down, Danny. Calm down, Leo. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens coming up on the other side. Kurt Nelson of the Royals Hall of Fame, the director of the Hall of Fame. Kurt Nelson joins the Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.